Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of the internet, I am Jonah O'Connor, you are my listeners, and this is the Jonah O Show with special guest Sean Savoy. Sean, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Jonah?
I'm doing pretty good. I know we've been talking about this for a while, and wanted to get you on the show and pick your brain, man,
because awesome.
We're finally doing this. It's exciting. So we're doing a Midsummer Night's Dream together.
Yep.
You play the role of Demetrius. How long have you been acting, man? Where'd you get your start?
I started, I think, the first... Well, I was acting ever since I was born, man. I was always, like... I used to do this thing growing up where, like, most people kind of, like, just... You know, playing, like, dress-up and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really making myself sound cool here.
Oh, shit.
playing dress-up and everything like that. Yeah. Like, you know, anything. It wasn't just, like, soldiers or anything. I just thought it was... I'd always make a game out of, like, even chores.
Okay.
Like, setting the table and things like that. I'd love to just be theatrical about it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'd always pretend like I was, like, a waiter and things like that.
Right.
Just, like, kind of ridiculous things. And that kind of translated into me wanting to do a lot of jobs. So I used to say, like, to my parents, like, it would change every week. Like, they'd be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd be like, well, like, one day I wanted to be, like, a doctor. And the next week I'd want to be, you know, like, a waiter. Or the next week I'd want to be, like, a shoe store owner or something like that. It would always change. And then, like, I kind of realized that for the most part, I didn't actually want to be any of those.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really want to be any of those. I just wanted to get the credit for them. So I was like, I want to dress up in the uniform and I want to do that, but I actually don't want to go through the schooling. And so I was basically just a lazy kid. No, and then I kind of just decided that, that, you know, the best of all of those worlds could be just, you know, essentially playing dress up, playing what I was doing and getting paid for it. So to answer your question, you asked, when was the first time that I ever acted?
Mm-hmm.
I think, man, it was probably, I was in a play. This is the first one I can remember that actually was like a rehearsal period and a performance on stage and a cue to cue and everything. That was, it was a play called A Moose Jaw Mystery. And it was basically a play, about like the tunnels of Moose Jaw and Al Capone.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, funnily enough, played Al Capone in it. And he was like, and it was like a kid thing, right?
Yeah.
He was like, we were all like,
how old were you guys?
Oh, he was probably like, I'm guessing he was probably like 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me, 8 or 7 or 8 or somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I played one of like the underling gang members.
Yeah.
And he was Al Capone. And I remember it was cool because he actually had a prop, like this plastic prop shotgun. And, you know, fedora. Like, you know, this is like low budget stuff. Not a lot of CGI.
Like from the dollar store.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I'm making it sound like we gave this kid a bunch of like cool, like suits and guns and
just
played
gave
Al
this
Capone.
Kid a bunch of guns.
No, yeah, it was fun. And, so that was my first acting job. And that was actually at a place called, Class Act Studios, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, weirdly enough, I was in this, this program, this like acting program as a youth,
mm-hmm.
before I even really knew that I wanted to do it. Sorry, the noise here.
Oh, that's
before
fine.
I really knew I wanted to do it. And that's kind of like the funniest thing is my parents put me into what essentially was acting classes. And,
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I did that. And then ever since then, man, I took off, you know, I tried sports. There was a year in high school there that I tried.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I was in every sport there,
yeah.
and I just, you know, didn't land anywhere. Like, it really just wasn't my
thing,
and I was trying so hard to, like, grasp on to, like, you know, soccer is my thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
or, like, wrestling's my thing,
yeah.
or my brother was the captain of the football team, so, you know, so, like, that was an easy in to be in the
football
team.
Yeah, so you had your in.
Yeah, exactly,
was
and
say.
I was, like, and I basically was feeling like, well, if he has all these sports things, and, you know, all my buddies were in sports, I was like, well, where's my sports thing, and
mm-hmm.
it took until probably like midway through high school for me to realize like I could just make drama my thing, you
mm-hmm.
know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but
I was never a sporty kid. I mean, like I was the mascot, I think, for my basketball team.
Yeah.
So that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
I got to, I guess it. But yeah, like
just sweat to death.
Pretty much, in the
blazing sun. Yeah,
I would totally mess with the other players. And the coaches and stuff. And there was a couple times where I got sent off, but it was good fun.
You took it too far.
I got my start in acting in high school. Like, I haven't done that much but when I went to a drama camp called Fringe.
Okay.
I think it was in my...
Oh, I've heard of Fringe.
Yeah, I went to Fringe.
Yeah.
And it was a workshop.
Yep.
Of like 2 weeks, and they teach about like comedy and a whole bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
And so that's kind of where it was like, well, I kind of want to do this. And we did a play called Almost Maine, which is, we're doing that at the Lyric, so that's kind of, but I've always been that type of person to, like I said, to memorize movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I have the entire first movie of Lord of the Rings memorized, and I can say it, like, word
for
word, right?
I'm just kidding.
No, I could say it, like, word for word, but, sports is the same thing for me. It never really landed.
Yeah.
It was, drama was always the kind of place where I felt like I belonged with the drama and the choir and stuff like that, because I sing and stuff, but it's so different performing here than it is in Vancouver.
How's that?
Because Vancouver is like a huge tourist spot in some places, like Gastown.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So you'd have like droves of people coming in, but here it's like there's not even anywhere to play music.
Right.
Like, you can go to Urban Ground and maybe hope for 30 people.
Yeah, there's definitely like... Yeah, that's something that I kind of found funny, even going from, like, we grew up in BC,
mm-hmm.
up until we were around, like, the age of, like, I want to say my brother was 10, no, yeah, around there, something like that, so
mm-hmm.
we kind of partially grew up there, so I understand, like, when we came here, there was a lot of, like, things about this small town, and even towns like, you know, even cities like Regina and Saskatoon, mm-hmm. where they would say, you know, there's like this major festival of like, you know, this cultural hub of music or theater, and then you'd go there and it's kind of just like a casual day in the park, like from like BC standards, but that's just because like population I found like a lot of people, it's few and far between these like outlets for art, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But when it is there, I mean, the people that are there love it. It's just not a high volume of people, which I suppose, you know, you talk to a lot of people and they probably say like the volume of people or the pop, you know, however many people show up, that doesn't matter. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it doesn't, but I just mean like, that was the biggest shock for me, is like just how many people, you know, in Vancouver, in a place like where there's so many people, an audience is like bound to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But here, like, you have to,
You have to go ask people
to come and watch.
You gotta go.
You
gotta go pound the pavement a little bit here.
Exactly. You realize a lot of people, like, I guess in the nicest way, don't give a shit unless you tell them. And that's fine. That's fine. Because, like, I understand that, I say don't give a shit. That's probably not the best way to phrase that. But I mean, like, you know, there's not really, like, a set amphitheater, you know, where, you know, plays are, you know, going around, you know, year round or whatever, summer, mm-hmm. summer long, but so, you know, people don't know where to go to get it.
Yeah.
Maybe like the library, you know, but anyway.
That's another thing, that there's a lot of artists here too.
Yep.
That's one thing that I've noticed, is a really artsy town.
Yep.
And that there's a lot of people who I think would have a lot of potential in big places like Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
but I think that a lot of opportunity is lost in small towns like this. I know that sounds fucking terrible,
mm-hmm.
but,
that's true though, man. Like, and the other thing is like, on a really bright side that I've come to learn is like, you know, I'm like, not to sound like, you know, I'm like like magnetic to these people, but like, mm-hmm. I find that like, I know obviously in the places that I hang out
and
that like, I've met a lot of talented people, like my, you mm-hmm. know, my lady that I'm, you know, been with for a few years now. And, all my friends, you know, are talented one way or another, like musically talented, but also talented, you know, like craftsman talented, you know? And a thing here that I've realized, especially like small towns, is, a lot of them are very humble, and that's really refreshing. Like, very humble, you know, like, won't, like, look down on you, like, I mean, that's why, like, I love, you know, a lot of people, like, don't, necessarily love this town.
Yeah.
Especially, like, people coming out of high school, people that have grown up here, like, for all their lives. And I understand, you know, like, I didn't grow up here from the day I was born, but mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, man, I wish I want to get out of this city.
Everybody wants to leave.
And I don't really find myself hating this city. I don't think this city has ever done anything wrong to me or my family.
Yeah.
And it's had, you know, I don't carry that animosity. So, anyway.
So, yeah, like, so many people want to leave around here, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, there's a lot, people say, oh, there's nothing to do here.
Right.
Right. And when I was a kid, I lived in this town called Coleman, Alberta, which is, like, a small town of, like, I think it had, like, 2,000, 3,000 people in it.
Oh, so small,
like, small.
Small town.
Like.
Okay.
But here, one thing that I've noticed is that everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's a really community-orientated place.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
And there's tons of stuff going on with the radio station and the baseball games and all that stuff. And
yeah. Yeah. It's hard not to know people, honestly.
Yeah. Because, you know, people are, like, I don't want to say people are assholes here, but people are, in my opinion, people are really closed-minded here.
Oh, okay.
They're like, I know what I know, and this is my life, and this is what I do.
Yeah.
And it was a huge culture shock for me.
Okay. Right?
Like, coming from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Where just, like, even, like, something as simple as hailing a taxi. I remember I was out with my friends one night, we were drinking, and I held up my wallet, which is what you do in Vancouver if you want a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And he just drove right past me, and I was so offended. I'm like, he didn't even stop.
Yeah. Too good for my money, no.
Right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting how a lot of people are kind of, like, I would say, stuck in their ways here.
Okay. Like, you mean culturally, or, like,
sort of,
like, with, like, their personal lives, like, occupied with their personal,
like,
lives?
Like, I would say culturally. Like, it's definitely a mass thing, right? There's definitely an East Coast attitude here.
Oh, really? East Coast?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Like, because I'm from Vancouver, right? So I'm obviously going to step on people from the East Coast a little bit.
Sure.
But, okay. I mean, like, a lot of people are really stuck up here. That's one thing that I've, like, especially, like, the older crowd and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. this is definitely, I would say, a retirement town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, yeah.
And it's a really nice town, but I don't know. It's just, like, when I landed in Regina, I was like, or in Regina even, because their airport, Regina's a big city, I guess, but I landed and I was like, where are all the buildings?
Oh, really?
What have I done? Because they're, but to give them credit, their airport's like in the middle of a field.
Yeah, it's true, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, where are all the people?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, just so many things that I'm used to that they don't have. Like, I was like, because Vancouver just recently got an Uber.
Okay.
And I was like, so, like, do I call an Uber? And everybody looked at me like I was on drugs. And I'm like, what? And he's like, we don't have Uber here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or, like, just those luxuries that I think people in cities, they take advantage of.
Right.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, the art scene here, you were saying, you kind of have to work for it.
Yeah.
Where in Vancouver, it's just, I don't want to say given to you. But
it's, like, by default with the population. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? All you have to find is a place to stop. I'm saying that as if I've done it. I'm only assuming, you know, but, like, I haven't, you know, ever, you know, had a soapbox I put up in the middle of Stanley Park and started monologuing or anything like that. But that's only something I could assume. But at the same time, going back to, like, just people and, you know, the artistic people, that sounds kind of, you know, pretentious. But
yeah.
The artistic people that I know.
Because we're two of them, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're in that crowd.
No, yeah. Well, definitely those people that I know, though, is, like, they're very, very humble. Like, a lot of the times, I have to tell, like, my friends or, like, you know, these people that I love, like, you know, you're really, like, that's, like, totally blowing me away, like, how good you are at, you know, picking up this song you just heard and just, you know, singing it off and, or, like, learning it on guitar or piano. And I guess, I mean, that's just people musically. Like, I've never, ever, ever been a musical person. Like, I've, you know, I appreciate music. Obviously, it's a major part of my life. I mean, like, I mean, is it not for anyone, you know? Like, it's such a major part of just life in general.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it, obviously. I digest a lot of it, you know, and I'm lucky enough that I have friends and family who have such a wide range and taste in music.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, I've never been able myself to... I'm not musically inclined at all. I'm trying to find a way around saying this where I still sound good, but
yeah.
Like, it's quite frankly, like, I'm not musically inclined, like, whatsoever. I've taken singing lessons, I've taken piano lessons, and something that I've noticed is, like, my level of music is just floating by. Like, it's just bouncing on the clouds, and, you know, if there ever was call for... anything, you know, if there's call for rain, as it were, you know, I wouldn't be able to hold myself up. So I'm telling all of my friends, you know, and, like, my loved ones, like, you know, you are really incredible. Like, and, you know, like, people need to hear you. And I'm not saying that in any, like, way. I'm just kind of feeding them bullshit. Like, no. I mean, you know how it is, man. You're surrounded by actors all the time. Like, there are plenty of opportunities to tell people they're great.
Yeah.
And I don't do it with everyone. It's not just because I don't think they're great, man. A lot of the people I work with are fantastic. But I think it's really important to pick and choose when you compliment someone.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to saturate them with false praise.
I think that, like, going off of what you said, I think it's also really important to, like, think about what you say to people.
Okay.
Because people will make a point, and this is always something that I've noticed, that people will make a point, and if you say, well, what do you mean, and they don't have an explanation for you, they're not even thinking about what they're saying.
Okay, give me an example.
Like, say if somebody was like, if I made a point or an argument on, like, hypothetically, like saying, oh, dinosaurs don't exist.
Yeah.
It's been proven scientifically.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then...
Well, that is a fact. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you say, what do you mean? And they go, well, if you read this book, or, you know what I mean? And they don't have any, like, evidence of their own.
Yeah. So, like, kind of passing on the...
They're kind of like...
Yeah.
They're just talking to not... They're just, I think, talking, like, for the sake of talking.
Right.
And they don't have any, like, crystal clear evidence.
About, like, what they're trying to argue.
Like, when people get mad at me when I say Scientology is ridiculous. And I know that you're a Scientologist. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Right?
We'll talk about that way later. Anyway.
Like,
yeah,
when
it just makes you feel so powerful. Right. Anyway.
When I tell people that Scientology is ridiculous,
right.
And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like... Well, some of the ceremonies and, like, the things that they do and, like, if you actually research them and look into their history, it's like their founder was a con man.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yep.
And...
So you're presenting this evidence, you know, you're not just going into this argument.
Yeah, you're not just going into this argument with, like, this blind faith.
Right, right.
Of things.
Yeah.
Like, my boss, I respect him a lot because... I asked him why he went to Bible college, and he told me probably one of the realest answers that I've ever heard. He said, because I wanted to know why I believe what I believe in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas most people would just be like, well, I just know that that's the truth, and that's the good thing to do.
I inherited it or something.
Yeah, like my parents told me to believe in it or something like that.
There's always, there's something so refreshing, I do agree. What I was going to say is there's something so refreshing, especially, you know, I don't want to get, you know, too deep in the talk about religion or anything like that, but when people are vindicated in their religion and can really explain to you and get across the table that, you know, why they believe in what they believe, you know, and that they preach it and that they practice the values of and the principles of their religion.
Yeah.
That's really refreshing, and I love that. And I wouldn't for a moment, you know. And I'm not saying I'm not atheist at all.
Yeah.
But you know, I do really love when people are vindicated in what they believe. And I think that's so refreshing, and it's nice to hear. And I think, you know, personally, I don't know, maybe people that, you know, have a belong to a religion should say it out loud more, you know, and remind themselves. And I think that's really nice.
I think it's a good structure, and it teaches people good morals and things like that. And when you look at religion, like, as a common thing, like, they all have the same common guidelines, and you know what I mean? So, like, I have friends that are Muslim, and I have friends that are Jewish, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go to them and be like, no, you're wrong. This is what the Bible says, and you're going to hell.
Yep.
Right? Because they believe in what they believe in, and Mm-hmm. Who am I to say any different, right?
Sure, yeah, especially like, you know, oh man, I hope I don't make myself sound stupid here, because I kind of tried to forget a little bit about it, but when I was in university, you know, I took, you know, like religious studies and everything, just to get more in touch, and I think the focus for that particular course was on, like, the Abrahamic religions, you know,
okay.
So, like, Islam and Christianity and Judaism, and I really loved it. I loved learning about these religions. Mm-hmm. I loved learning about the class itself. I mean, not to, you know, I'm not going to critique the class itself, but it was a little unorganized. But nonetheless, I really loved it. And I found out there, you know, we had these questions, like we would do these statistic questions, right? Like, you know, who in the class is, you know, actually practices Islam or practices Christianity, and you know, few and far between, like two or three out of a class of like whatever 100 and some, you know. That's not being said that the rest of those people, that the difference is atheist or agnostic, but you know, but it's again going back to those questions of who practices it, you know, who preaches it, who practices it, who does both, you know, who, you know, applies it to their daily life. Yeah. And that really was eye-opening, and it was nice to be in an environment, I think, in that class where it was clear that the professors made, you know, that this is a an environment where, you know, we're not going to have discourse on, you know, religion or anything like that, but you're just here to learn, and it was nice.
Okay.
So I took a backseat, really, to learning all of these religions.
Oh, nice.
So now, I mean, it probably doesn't sound like I'm too educated about it. Like, I didn't learn much. Like, I did. I'm not prepared.
Like,
right
I'm not
now.
Saying that I have a theology degree or anything else like that. But right, you know what I mean? Like, for me personally, I was raised very, I don't want to say religious. I was raised in the church, and the church was a foundation.
You were raised in a church.
Not in a church.
You were nursed in a church.
I was part of a church. God damn it, man.
I know. Yeah.
But I was brought up in a godly household.
Okay.
Right? To correct myself.
Yeah.
And like I was a worship leader at one point and things like that.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, like I was super, super, super involved with the church.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man, it's not like I said, I'm not an atheist. I don't not believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 'Cause I believe in God, but I just got out of it. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, I just stopped going to church and stopped.
Was it just because, sorry to cut you off, mm-hmm. but there's this, I had this conversation with this lady that I know where, you know, we were talking about her daughter is going to Bible camp this summer, and she was telling me that their family wasn't particularly partial to any religion, and she said, and we kind of just said, you know, well, why is she going to Bible camp? Just, you know. And she said that she got into it, you know, with her friends, you know, over the winter. She was hanging out with her friends who were quite religious, and they, you know, posed the idea, you know, want to come to Bible camp, I think she got a reference from, like, a minister. And
okay, to be a counselor.
To be a counselor, yeah. And anyway, she's doing that, but we had this conversation about, you know, tradition and going to church and how, you know, she doesn't do it, yet she grew up doing it.
Yeah.
And I just asked her, I said, you know, when did the tide turn where not going to church on Sundays or not having a cross in your household became reversed, right?
Yeah.
And
it
now,
was just
and
normalized.
Yeah, now it's something, you know, like when a family goes to church, it's like, oh, that family's Christian, you know, like don't swear. Like,
yeah.
I even like, I'm really going off topic here, but like, I even have like a friend who's a family was more religious than my other friends, but I like took it upon myself. I was like, oh, you can't slouch. Like, you got to stand like ramrod straight and like,
oh yeah.
And like, you have to, you know, look good and clean and don't swear. And,
mm-hmm.
and I just kind of, I totally overshot it, man. Like
yeah.
I don't know why I acted like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was stupid even saying it out loud, but no, that's how I felt. But anyway, back to the conversation where I said, where did that turn? Like the '80s. And
yeah.
Obviously, you can't, you know, give it a year or a decade. Like, it's
yeah.
different for every demographic, for every, you know, place in the world, or in North America, rather.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, and this was, like, a great answer, she said, I think it just happened when people just, their lives just got busier, like, just come in the coming, like, decades.
Uh-huh.
And so do you think, is that, that's my long-winded way of asking you, is that what happened to you? Like, you just got busy, and that's why?
Yeah, I got busy, and I just didn't make it my top priority, and I started to realize that, in my opinion, it might be different for other people. Like, being a Christian isn't about going to church or reading your Bible. It's about being a good person and doing what's right.
Yeah.
Because you have to realize that everybody knows inside them what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do, and we all have a choice to do it. But, yeah, no, I suppose I just got busy and stopped going.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Like, I'm not a terrible person, but I'm not a saint at the same time.
Well, I think no one is.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah. And that's the one thing that I can't stand is that people who just pretend to be so perfect.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I was taught growing up is that Jesus isn't going to minister to perfect people. He's going to look for the broken people and the hurting people. And
that's right.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
That was one thing that I just wanted to get out of the religious aspect of the church. Okay. You know what I mean? And get into the godly aspect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stop concentrating on what other people taught me was wrong and how to judge people.
Mm.
Like, there's this rapper, I don't know if you've heard of him, his name's NF.
Nope.
And he's, I'm not going to say a Christian rapper, but he's a Christian, and he said, in one of his songs he said, "Church is where I found God, but it's also where I learned to judge."
Okay.
And I think that that's a big misconception that a lot of people have about churches. And they see one church, and it gives a lot of other churches a bad name and a bad rap.
Like the Westboro Baptist.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I've heard things.
No, but I mean, I do agree.
Like, I've heard things about that church, but you know what I mean?
So have I. I try not to, segue more about, like, news. Like, whenever I see something like that in the news, it's not necessarily that I want to turn a blind eye toward those things. But, like, even reading news, I try not to, I used to, tying in religiously, I used to watch the news religiously, like every night before I went to bed with my mom, because my mom used to get home late from work, and
she'd watch the 11 o'clock news or whatever.
Right, something like that, like, we'd have dinner, and then we'd kind of, you know, talk, and then we'd go watch news and whatever, and, like, while, like, working out, you know, because she, like, work out at home and everything like that, right, and we'd watch news, and what I noticed is, like,
What kind of news did you watch? Did you watch
just
liberal news or concerned? Like,
well,
CNN
let me say CTV.
CTV.
Yeah, CNN was never.
CNN's pretty intense.
Yeah, CNN was.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes, it's pretty intense. CNN was never. We just watched CTV.
Okay.
I don't think it was because my parents were any particularly partial, but there was a lot of, obviously the world's not perfect. I'm not telling any tales out of school here or anything, but it just kind of, and I think it does for most people, really got me down and bummed me out about a lot of stuff. Made me a real, like, a worried person, you know? And I'm not talking about just, like, you know, the fact that, you know, so-and-so was shot and wherever, but, I mean, everything from you know,
like the Notre Dame thing,
right? Like Notre Dame. Yeah. Oh, of course. I mean, and, you know, like general bigger topics, you know, climate change, you know, the war in the Middle East, war anywhere, disaster anywhere. And then the news would do this really corny thing where they'd tie in like a story about like this, like puppy whose leg was amputated and how it's doing good. And it's like, well, that's something that's beautiful. And, like, that's a nice thing to see. But you can't just say, you know, 16 people were killed in this disaster and then show up.
And here's a puppy.
Right. And right. So what I'm trying to say is an animal isn't equal to a human's life. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So do you think that the news, in your opinion, do you think that the news covers what they need to cover? Or do you think that they just...
Well...
Because one thing that my mom pointed out, she said you should always watch the ticker on the bottom.
The little ticker tape.
That goes down, because when they're talking about things that are... I don't want to say less important, but there'll be like, it'll be like, for example, it'll be like, they'll be talking about the G1 climate summit or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, okay.
And then it'll be like 58 people dead in Israel after a roadside bombing or something like that in the ticker, and they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Do you think that the news, like, accurately covers that, or do you try to find outside sources like YouTube and Vice or, like, things like that?
You know, I, this is a lot to take apart. I don't think I'm in any kind of a position where I could tell, I don't know, I'm a very, it sounds bad, I've always been this way, and I think most, like, young people are, is just being really, I'm really self-invested.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, like, I think it would be pretty arrogant of me to say that, oh, news is not covering this, you know, because I value this personally over, you know, so I don't really know what to say to that, but here's, we were asked this question in in the theater program at the University of Saskatchewan.
Okay.
You know, we just had kind of questions, like, at the beginning of the day, and one of the questions, because they always weren't necessarily about acting, but one of the questions, was, where do you get your news? And I think there was, like, another question, like, in what, you know...
It was, like, about that question, like, what news network do you watch?
Yeah, what news network do you watch? And obviously, that's, like, that's such a red flag for things to get political.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Because everyone...
As we're getting extremely political.
Right. So, like, that's why I wanted to kind of steer clear. So, what I said, and everyone was going, you know, like, you know, saying, the most I don't know how to rehearsed, I guess I could say, answer, where I had people go, oh, well, you know, I have CNN, and then I have, you know, and then I have this other said network, you know, CNN or Fox or CTV and CBC and a private news organization, and then a government-funded news organization, and I cross-reference. And people were saying that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I kind of had this answer where I basically just said, you know, I live in a house with a lot of people, like, because this is when I was in university, I lived with a lot of people who are all up to date on, you know, news from all around the world, you know, local news and everything like that. And I kind of, and this might sound a little bit ignorant, I suppose, but I was like, I think all of the concerns in news that all the information that I should be concerned with will filter down through those people. And it'll come to me. The phrase I used was, you know, if the storm is outside of my house, I'll see it. You know, that was kind of like what I meant. Like, and that sounds like an ignorant answer, but I mean, it's also a thing. Like, you know,
like, going back to what you were saying about, like, a lot of young people are so self-invested.
Right.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because there's some points where you need to be self-invested.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, this whole...
Like, I'm sorry to cut you off. I meant, just to clarify that, like, when I say self-invested, I mean that, like, it's not that I'm not compassionate or empathetic towards else's problems, but what I kind of mean is, it's more so, you know, I guess, you know, in a way it is. There's something so distant and detached about hearing, again, I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said, but there's something that's really detached about hearing, about a tragedy or hearing about, you know, whatever, so far away and with the monotone speaking voice that just tells you, you know, so and so many people died and everything like that, that it's, you know, I almost started feeling like when they'd show photos of the people that died.
Yeah.
I'd always think, like, you know, how would it be being that family, you know, who like is now hearing like their father's death is being trivialized, I guess, almost on the news just by, you know, saying like,
kind of.
It was a horrific story and this man, was brutally murdered. And then it's just like, you know,
it kind of almost turns into a publicity stunt.
Yeah. And I always felt like that's kind of, I felt that was, like, intrusive in a way, I guess, because I just was thinking, like, if that was my dad, man.
Yeah, like...
That would, you know, and everyone saw that, and that's how they phrased his death, like...
Like, my mom, you know, she always tells me this story about how my grandma was in England while London was being bombed. Like, she watched London get bombed.
Like, in the Second World War?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And I consider myself so lucky to live in a place like this.
That is getting bombed,
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's not getting destroyed, or I'm not under a military regiment.
That's
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of people take that for granted. That, like, I always talk about naturalizing to England because I could get a British passport tomorrow and go and not have to get a working visa in England, because my mom was born in England.
Oh, okay.
And my mom always says, don't. Like, do you know how valuable your Canadian citizenship is? Like, yeah. Just being a Canadian in some of those places,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. she's like, because you might have to give up your citizenship if you naturalize to England.
Right.
And
I don't know if you do, but I don't know. But I'm saying yes.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like,
I understand. Okay, yeah.
And then, like, I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she was saying, like, oh, people think, like, England's just la-di-da, cup of tea, la-la-la-la-la.
Right.
And she was, like, saying,
it's
like,
not? No, I'm just kidding, yeah.
Like, English gangs are rough as fuck, and England and Ireland, like, she was telling me, the example that she used was so good, because she said, when you go to big cities like New York or Chicago or Detroit.
Or Regina.
What are the bars? They're Irish pubs
yeah.
and stuff like that, right? Yeah. Because she's like, Irish people, like, invented rowdiness. Because my mom's, like, super Irish. Her last name's O'Connor, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, yeah. And,
naturally.
No, it's really interesting because she said, I was asking about my guys, and she said, no, your grandma was not religious at all. She converted to Catholicism to marry my dad.
Hmm.
And okay. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's justified, is it? Right?
All right.
And, yeah. But no, it's like, my mom has never been super religious. Mm-hmm. She's always just been, had taught me the mentality of just helping people.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Did you, you know, well, yeah, you know who Elon Musk is, right?
Yeah. Familiar, yeah.
What do you think about his space travel expedition? Because he's...
Uninformed, man.
Because he's competing with the Mars One people, I believe.
Okay.
And he's also competing with Richard Branson. What do you think about that? Like, everybody's trying to get to space.
I mean,
like, would you cool. would you go personally?
Would I go to space?
Yeah, if you had the opportunity. Like, say if it was like, if you had 25...
Would I go to space?
Yeah, like,
if I'm sure I could find, yeah, I'm sure I'd go to space.
Could you find an excuse?
To go to space?
Yeah.
I think it would speak for itself. If someone, you know, if I had to get time off work and they said, where are you going? And I said, I said space. I think everyone would understand.
Yeah.
I think my manager would just nod. Yep. Yep.
Like, absolutely. He's doing a good deed for his country.
Yeah, we'll cover. No. But, I mean, man, like, again, I don't know. Is there any particular, like, do I agree with it? Yeah, sure. It's self-funded. It's not necessarily,
yeah.
you know,
Because they said that they're going to be ready to go by 2020.
Yeah, well, I better put my application in.
Mars One was saying that, and then
right.
I watched a documentary on all these people who were applying, and one guy was like, well, if I have to leave my wife and kids behind forever, so be it.
Yeah, well...
like, how miserable must this bastard be?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't... No, I think it's fun. I think it's nice that there's competition.
Yeah.
Between, you know, you said Mars One, Richard Branson, and Elon Musk. I had no idea Richard Branson was in competition, direct competition with Elon
yeah,
Musk.
Yeah, I think that my mom...
Makes sense, I guess.
I was being told that Richard Branson was the first one who suggested it.
Who suggested what?
Commercial space travel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Probably, yeah. I mean, that sounds like something Richard Branson would say.
Like, I don't follow him as much. All I know is that he is the founder of Virgin.
Yeah.
And he's got Virgin Airlines and Virgin Mobile, and now they're trying to...
And he's a virgin.
And...
and he's a... Yeah. No, I'm...
Everybody's trying to go to space, and it's just so weird, because 20 years ago, you would never think that would be possible. It's so bizarre to me, the technology that we have now, as opposed to 10 years ago.
It is. It's bizarre to me in a way that, it is really bizarre. I was thinking about that, you know, because I have a lot of free time. I was just thinking about that.
I have a lot of free time.
I have a lot of free time.
I just act. They don't work.
Right.
You know.
No, I was kind of just thinking about the leaps and bounds that... I guess we as a species have come in such a short amount of time, and it's mind-boggling. I mean, even when you say, I think a problem that I have a lot when people bring up, like, Elon Musk or bring up commercial space travel or these private corporations that are funding their own space exploration. And I just, it sounds like a movie, you know? Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, sure, I'm for it. But I don't think I'm really grasping the grandness of that being an actual possibility.
That's the thing.
So you ask me and I'm just like, yeah, I'm all for it. But I mean, you know.
I think that a lot of people don't.
It's hard to
like,
imagine.
I'm not saying that I do, but I think that a lot of people don't grasp it because I looked it up. How long would it take? How long is the flight going to take?
Okay.
From Earth to Mars, and they said 7 months.
Oh, good God.
And I'm like, people don't realize what a long time that is to be stuck in a thing, maybe like in an area, maybe three times the size of this car with seven other people that you don't know.
Yeah, they'd have to, like, you've seen Interstellar, right?
Yeah.
They'd have to put me in one of those sleeping things. Absolutely not. Yeah. 7 months, no way.
Would you go the whole 7 months in a sleeping? You wouldn't even, like...
Absolutely.
You'd be like, no, I'm going out.
Dude, absolutely.
I'm not dealing with you people.
Absolutely. Being in that small of a room, traveling through space, there's so much to digest there.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd just be anxiety attack
I think
after anxiety.
That a it lot would not of people, be cool. I'd a like lot of think, people would think that, like, it's going to be so cool, and I'm going to be like Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar, and they'd be like, as soon as they sat down, they'd be like, what the fuck am I doing here, man?
Absolutely not.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, undoubtedly. I like how we're talking about space travel, like... Yeah, man, it's honestly not that much. It's not that cool.
Yeah.
we're just as if we've been there.
But that's what's so mind-boggling about it, is that we could sit here and talk about it like that, whereas, like, 20 years ago, if you brought that up in a conversation, they'd be like, man, you're insane. I think that a lot of people don't grasp the reality. And one thing that I like, because I listen to a podcast that's called The Habitat, and they're simulating life on Mars, what life on Mars would be like. And they're locking these people in this pod that's about the size of the car.
Okay, terrible.
For a year.
Oh, terrible.
And it's on a volcano.
Terrible. Why are they doing that?
To simulate what it would be like to live on Mars. To see if they could do it.
You know,
and you can't,
you know,
and
when you mentioned being in a pod for 7 months, and I was just about to say, like, why would someone ever want to volunteer themselves to do that? But then you tell me that they... are doing, imagine signing up for that, but not, it's a simulation in like a pod the size of this car in a volcano. I was about to say, why would you ever go to Mars? But now I'm saying even more so, why would
you do this pod thing? But
yeah, because absolutely, you know, I'd rather go to Mars than do the simulation.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't know. I think that, in my opinion, I think that people are going to try and colonize Mars, and I don't think it's going to work out the way they planned it.
You think so?
I think it's going to be like starting an entire new planet, which is basically what it is. There's nothing there.
Okay.
There's water there, but there's no buildings or...
Is there? There's water there?
That's what they were saying, that there was... That's why the whole space thing is coming up, that they can live on Mars, because the Mars rover found images of water on Mars. And I think they got samples of it. And again, like, I'm paraphrasing because I'm not extremely trained in solar exploration.
Yeah, I don't think if anyone, you know, I don't think anyone listening to this is going to be like, is going to really be like, come to us for our
like some dude is sitting in Oklahoma ready to go to Mars.
And he's like,
and we're just shitting on his dreams.
Yeah, he's like, what do these boys have to say about space travel?
They're like, they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about. I put 18 years of my... And some of these people, like, on this documentary, they're so invested.
Well, I'd hope so. I mean, if you're going, you know, if you're going like, to space,
they're
I think
all
there's
in.
There's a appropriate level of
there's
investment you can make of your
there's
personal
There's some
time
people that are like some guy was like, I think one guy was like, I was in the Marines. So
okay.
I'm extremely disciplined and I could handle this.
Yeah.
And then another guy was like, yeah, I go hiking for a month in Utah and just all their experience. And I don't think that people realize what they're doing. I think that people are going to get there and realize that it's not to sound cheesy, but it's an out of this world experience.
Oh.
But
that's all the time we have, unfortunately.
We have to go. No, but I think that once they capitalize on it, once they kind of get their stuff together, I don't think that I'm going to see it until I'm an old man. And that's just my opinion, like a functioning society in space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
like,
no,
they'll have pods or whatever they're going to have, but...
Like AirPods?
I would assume so.
Like AirPods? Like earphones?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, are you allowed music on Mars?
I don't know. I'm not well-versed in the...
I'm not well-versed in it either, but I just...
In the law of Mars, no.
In my opinion, I would love to go to Mars. But I would want...
Yeah, man. I mean, if someone
like,
is like...
It would be like, hey, man. Like, if some guy came up to you...
Yeah.
And was like, hey, man, here's the deal. I have a company, and it's called Mars One. And we're going to Mars in 2020.
Made up. So made up. Such a made up name. But anyway.
That's an actual company.
No, I know, but I you're asking me what I think. I'd say that was a made up name.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But anyway, continue. But
comes up to you and is like, hey, so we're doing this thing. And if you want to sign up, you can go to our website. And so you go to the website,
right,
and you sign up, and you do your research, and you find out that it's going to be 7 months, and you actually do it. Yeah. I think it would be a very cool experience.
Absolutely, so I man. Think I would going wanna... to Mars? There's no argument like, about it.
It would be super cool, but
yeah.
I think the novelty would wear off after about 3.5 months for me.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be in a pod the whole time.
Yeah.
But...
Would your pod have a window?
I would demand that my pod had a window.
Yeah.
I would need to see what was going on around me so that if I could, like... And that's the other thing as
now,
well.
Now, this is pod racing.
Right?
Nah, that's what I'd say. I'd be in there and I'd be locked up. I'd be locked up in there for 7 months and everyone would be all just, like, coiled up in their, in those, like, those, like, tinfoil-ass-looking blankets, you know? That radiate heat that I don't know why they would have it in there, but anyway, because I mean hopefully this thing's heated, but like just to give you an image, they're all wrapped up in their tinfoil like blankets with their sleeping eyewear over their eyes, yeah. And they're all like strapped up like sleeping upright, and then like our you know, we pick up speed a bit, and I'm talking like 3.5 months, like right in the dead center of this trip.
Yeah.
And then I go like, now this is pod racing.
Oh God.
And I just hear like, and then for about a month and a half, I just hear one like just prolonged sigh just being traded off by everyone in the pod.
And they just look at you when you walk by them in the space shuttle and they're just like,
it's just one sigh. Yeah. But anyway,
I think that it's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that we haven't realized would be a possibility that is now things that we take for granted. Like my grandma was telling me about how she would take her stocking, and she had a Model T back in the day, which I thought was so cool. She'd take her stocking when the fan belt broke and wrap it around and use her stocking as a fan belt.
Are you serious?
It was just like, and she would tell me about like jazz parties in the 20s and stuff. That's like right. That and how much the world has changed. It's just mind boggling.
Yeah.
And, so to go super political, what do you think about Trump?
Who's that? Who's... Oh, Donald Trump. Oh,
yeah, that Trump.
That was a bad joke. I don't know. What do you mean, what do I think about him?
Like, what do you think about him as a president? Do you think that he's doing a good job?
Again, man, it comes to this thing of, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. But then again, I'm not well-versed, man. You know, here's the thing, is I really watch out what I say about politics. Not because I'm trying to, you know, showbiz terms, CYA, cover your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
We're allowed to swear.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, good, because I've been doing it. But
me too.
Not for CYA purposes, but mostly just because I have a lot of friends and a lot of people I know who are way, way more invested in politics than I am. And I find that...
I don't vote.
It comes from a... It comes... Well, we'll digest that in a second. It comes from a place of... I want to avoid a place of arrogance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've only been conscious enough to see the full term of one president, you know? I remember Bush... Like, seeing Bush giving speeches.
Yeah.
Particularly when, you know, President Obama gained control of the office. But I wasn't...
We weren't really.
I remember hearing about like Bush getting the shoe thrown at him, and
oh, yeah.
You know, so but like I wasn't really conscious of his presidency. because I was so young, you know?
Yeah.
So he's only, like, so Trump is the second. But, I mean, like, I'm not going to, I mean, from what I've heard, you know, and, I mean, it's hard being, I think, anywhere in North America, not hearing the constant news that comes from him. The guy's, you know, insane. But, again, I'm not telling any, like, again, and I have to reiterate this, like, I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I really watch out, like, because... Uh-huh. I'm not as invested in politics as so many people in my life, and I think that if any of those people ever heard me, you know, give my opinion, they'd say, well, you know, Sean is the, you know, I don't want to be, fast to react, but at the same time, it's a little hard to avoid a man who said some of, like, just the most, like, outrageous and just gross.
Some of the ludicrous, like, grabber in the pussy and,
yeah,
like, stuff
like as
like
soon
that.
As I heard that, that to me is to the same avail of, like when you're, like, you know, what do you feel about Elon Musk and commercial space travel? It's just, like, when you ask me a question about, like, you know, do you like Donald Trump? It's, like, it's so hard for me to even picture that, you know, it's just kind of like, well, the man is outrageous. Like, I hear things, you know, like,
I think he's a person, and I think that there's some things that he does that are good, and there are some things that he does that are bad. I don't think that he should have a Twitter account. I don't think that, and it's just, that's just my, I don't think people who are in those situations should have access to that kind of platform. If that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah.
Like, I just... Because he just spouts off the most random shit on Twitter sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah. And...
Well, again, that kind of adds to why I'm so, like...
Yeah.
I mean...
On another note, he has done almost everything that he said he was going to do in terms of the economy and stuff like that.
True, I guess.
You know what I mean? So, like, I have friends...
I'd say true, but I don't really...
I have friends in the States who voted for Trump.
Okay.
Right, and they're like, "Yeah, he's great. He does a bunch of stuff for our country, and he's getting us more jobs, and he's doing this, and he's doing that."
Sure.
Right, but I just, like, me personally, like I was saying, I don't vote, and I've gotten shit on a lot for that.
You don't vote? Why not?
I just, I've never done it. I just. You know, I haven't been the type of person to go, oh, it's voting day, I better run on down to the local polling station and cast my ballot, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it doesn't matter, and, you know, but it just... This is going to sound terrible. It doesn't affect me.
You don't think so?
It doesn't... I don't think so. And I've gotten... And you can disagree with me if you want.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that it affects my personal life.
Well, I'm not going to agree or... No, or disagree. I mean, I've never... Mm-hmm. I mean, I just turned... you know, I haven't had an election that I could vote for, a federal election that I could vote for, at, you know, ever in my life. So I'll let you know, long further down the road if I do or not. But
the one thing that annoys me about certain like Justin Trudeau, I think that a lot of the stuff that he's doing is great, but I think that a lot of the times people really, really shit on that dude. And even, like, before he was in.
Yeah.
Before he even had a chance to show people, like, what he was going to do. Yeah, but I think that's just...
Well,
that's just the standard with politics, with I guess.
I suppose. I mean, with particular Justin Trudeau, I mean, his father has had quite the reputation in Canada, you know, depending on where you are, at least from my understanding. I mean, I'm still young, but, you know, spotted reception of him in the West and, you know, quite a... different perception of him in East, particularly in Quebec and everything like that. But, no, I mean, you asked me, like, what do I think about Donald Trump or everything. It's almost like a common, like, it's almost, how do I put this? It's almost a given, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say, is, like, when someone asks me, like, you know, that's, it, to me, and then, I mean, this might, you know, reflect, I guess, my opinion, but it's like someone asking you, you know, how are you doing when you have, like, a fever, you know? It's almost like, wasn't it given, you know?
Kind of.
Like, then again, man, I mean, I don't, it kind of applies to that thing where, you know, I'm fed news that's filtered by other people or, and, you know, sometimes I'll catch a headline or something like that. But, you know, in a way, kind of like what you were saying, and not a pessimistic way at all. Or in any kind of a way that's, you know, like I'm indifferent or I'm, you know, I'm a self-invested, like we were just speaking about, I'm a self-invested teenager, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, in a way, yeah, it doesn't necessarily affect me. But I mean, a guy like my brother, you know, who's very invested in politics, especially, you know, he lives in Toronto, would disagree with me. That's why I'm not necessarily, you know, obviously I don't like the man, Donald Trump. I think that's obvious. But I don't want to commit to saying anything beyond the fact that I just don't like him. I think a lot of the things he said is brutish, and I really couldn't believe it when I heard it. But I'm not versed enough to make any kind of a conversation. Like, so sorry, I must be a real shit guest.
No. Just personally, like I agree with you. Like, I think he's really brutish and he's kind of a bigot. But
I think he is. Yeah. But yeah, continue.
But I don't know, man. People are strange in some of the traditions that they've upheld for years and years.
Yeah.
And it just, like, going back to the I don't vote thing, it's the same. Like, I would use this as an example. Like, I don't invest in stocks, or I don't concern myself with the Dow Jones went down six points. And I see that on the news sometimes, and I'm like, personally, I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not invested in stocks like some people. Like some people reading the stock market and, the Dow Jones is up 2 points there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, okay. Like,
it comes from just like
I'm not in that.
Don't understand like those kinds of economics because you are not interested. Like, it stems from the fact that you're not
interested. Yeah, it just doesn't interest me. And it's, you know what I mean? And I know that a lot of, like, I've been told, like, well, you're part of the problem in this country then. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't know, but you know what I mean? I'm not in a position right now that I can be, like, sat on a global platform and talk to people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, some people listen to my podcast, sure. And some people listen to my YouTube channel, sure. But, like, yeah, man, like, there's certain things in the world that people are interested in, and there's certain things that people aren't interested in. And it just affects people in different ways, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, I agree, I suppose, because there's a lot of things that, I'm just looking up. There are a lot of things that I will see, particularly, you know, to stemming somewhere like a little off politics, more even to like something like lighter, like sports.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes to me, as there's really no, and it ties back into me trying to, you know, find where I fit in high school and so on, is that it there really is like no fiber in me that is interested in like sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point of, you know, like, you know, I will watch a sporting event, and be invested to a certain extent, you know, but like there really is like not much conversation after, but that just is the way I was raised. So like, even like, yeah, not to tie into talk about economics or anything, just because I don't want to, you know, sound like an idiot, because
like, that's the thing. Like, what I was talking about, I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to stocks. So, you know, and it's not something that I'm interested in learning.
Right.
Like, going back to what you said with sporting events and stuff, I think a lot of people go to baseball games and things like that. I'm more interested in playing sports than I am in watching them, if that makes sense.
No, I mean,
you know what totally. I mean? Like, yeah, makes sense. Like, I'll go to a baseball game for the atmosphere and for the crowd.
It's a social
people,
event,
right?
It's a social
event.
Yeah,
it
right.
is. And there's a lot of things that people get really invested in sports. Like, I was talking about the Vancouver riots to Gord,
mm-hmm.
and stuff about the Stanley Cup riots and stuff like that, and it just didn't make sense to me.
That's right.
I'm like, why would you do that? Your team loses, so you're gonna wreck your own city. And they've done it twice.
Yeah, but alcohol is a big
alcohol is a big factor.
Alcohol and drugs, yeah,
cocaine,
a big part of that,
yeah.
But no, I mean, it's even the same kind of idea of like a Midsummer Night's Dream is to tie it back in and to totally plug this.
Totally plugging play. This production that we are both in. And
yeah, it's that's the way, you know, I've thought a lot. The way I've thought about sports and that it's a social event is I kind of want to apply, you know, because yes, I love theater. Mm-hmm. I love I love watching theater, like wherever, whenever it is. I just find it fascinating, and that, but that's my interest. And I know for a fact that a lot of people, especially some of my friends, don't share that same interest. But I mean,
yeah,
you know, going back to like how you said, it's a social event. This, yeah. Like, you know, sporting events are sometimes social events for a lot of people. Yeah. If that's the main, if that's the general consensus, and that's the interest, and that's why, you know, sporting events, not to disparage the athletes or the sport itself, obviously people go to watch that, but if that's a large reason that people go because it's a social event, then that's kind of the way I'd want to plug A Midsummer Night's Dream, is that you can come here with your family, with your friends, you know, you can something that I loved about this, not only that I can say I've done Shakespeare in the Park, mm-hmm. which is like the quintessential, almost cliched Shakespearean actor experience.
It's like the goal.
It's, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
It's like goals, so, actor goals.
Yeah, so when like, the thing that I like the most is the fact that we get to, you know, we get to be out there in the park while people eat and mm-hmm. drink, and it's a social event. So
I'm excited for it.
I would plug this play and you know, read off the dates.
I'm excited
for it. Tickets at Pharmasave.
Yeah, tickets at Pharmasave, $20 for adults and $5 for kids.
Bring me signs. Bring me flowers. No, I'm just kidding.
Bring me cards. Anyway, folks, I think we're just about out of time here. Sean, it was really good chatting with you.
Yeah, it was good chatting with you too, man.
Having you on the show.
Thanks for being such a great audience. You guys are really quiet.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I will talk to you next time. Bye, guys.